Welcome, everyone, to episode 46 of the Red Diamond Courier. I am here with you, as always, Bob Chachinski, here with my good friend, Dog Bark 24. How you doing this week, dog?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good and ready to talk about some freaking Elder Scrolls Online. This week, we're going to be covering the awesome regions of Reaper's March, the Rift, and Bankerai. Another region guides episode, the fifth one we've done, which also means that these are the last three base region zones. So it's going to be the last time we talk about three zones in once. So that's kind of crazy and still pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's going to be a good time. You know, when we talk regions, it's going to be lots of sets. When we are done with this episode, you guys will know all the sets that come out of these regions, which ones to look for, which ones are good. And yeah, there are some good ones in these regions. So you're going to want to hear about that. Plus, as always, we have the news and Cyrodiil scores for you. So not a lot of news this week, but I'll toss it to you, dog, to let them know what's up.
All right. So the Antonin event is over. And, you know, did you get the pages you wanted? I sure did. You need an Ice Heart sword or shield motif on either Xbox NA or PC NA, I got you covered. If you're on Xbox, I have three extras because I got like four Opal Ice Heart swords. So if you need one, just hit me up. Be like, hey, dog, I need that sword. And be like, hey, I got you covered. I got four. It was ridiculous.
Dude, that's like a third of the event. Like,
yeah. And I missed like four drops too.
Oh wow! So it's like half the event.
Yeah. Dang. My Ice Heart game was strong. All right.
But that's the one you wanted the most, though. So there you go.
I mean, I wanted one, maybe an extra one, right? But no, I didn't want half my drops to be Ice Heart.
You know what? This last day it was really nice to me, and I was like, "Oh, dang! I still had a gold box I didn't open from yesterday." So I opened that and I got a page that I didn't have, and I was like, okay, cool. Can't remember, it was just like not a good one or whatever. But then I opened the gold one from today and it was like Ice Heart something, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I opened the purple one that I gotten and I was like, boom, Ice Heart bows. And I was like, dude, are you kidding me? I got like three pages right now, two of them Ice Heart and all of them I didn't have. Pretty cool.
That's pretty lucky. I just get repeats of Ice Heart, so.
Yeah, I feel you. I got all the pages I wanted too, though. I only wanted two, the ones that I use every freaking day, the Opal Lambert staff and the Opal Bloodspawn staff, and I had to buy both of them. I probably spent maybe almost half a mil on those two, but man, it was worth it because now I feel even more at home on PC because I have my staves. I'm like, okay, I'm here. This is good.
Oh, also, the Ice Heart motif, like the normal Ice Heart, is out. So I went and bought that, and now I can have a staff without an ugly rod. So.
Ah, yeah. The undyable rod.
Yeah.
And then we also have the New Life Festival, which recently started. And, 17th, it's going until January 5th. There's all kinds of stuff. They added a new little snowball pet, which is pretty much just like the pebble pet from earlier this year. But, you know, it's kind of cool. I like it. So, if that's your thing, go check that out. All of the berries of this year for the Indrix are back of this year. Not last year, just this year. But, you know, you never know. This may be the last time that we ever see them. They may bring them back later. Who knows? But don't wait if you want one. Now is the time to go get that. So, all that is there for you. Like I said, it's going to be going until January 5th. You're going to get three tickets each day. All you got to go do is one New Life quest. Go meet up with Bretta right outside East March, the Kynes Grove Way Shrine. Very easy to get to. And Bretta's just, oh, so friendly. I mean, who wouldn't be? It's New Life. Plus, there's an awesome new quest for the Imperials this year, the Old Life quest, which, you know, yeah, it pulls at the heartstrings a little bit. It definitely, yeah, you know, I may have man-cried pretty hard at that one. But anyways, I hope you guys go and have a bunch of fun. Double XP all event long. Make sure you're taking advantage. So that is the news for you guys. We're moving right through it today because we got a big episode to get out for you here. So with that, we're going to go right into our Cyrodiil scores. Gray Host, right now, things are getting pretty close to wrapping up here on the PC side of things. You've got on the PC Stadia NA side, EP is leading with 78K. DC is right behind them at 77K. And AD is a little bit back there at 72.5. So very close up there for the top. DC's got to push up, go take first place. On the EU side of things, EP is leading as well with 74K. Almeri Dominion in second with 71K. And DC way back there with 66, unfortunately. So a little bit of work there to be done for DC, but AD is still pretty close behind them. So EP leading both sides of the PC things, of the PC campaigns. And Dogged, what about over on Xbox?
In Xbox NA, we have AD in first with 35.5K, DC in second with 27K, and EP in last with 25.8K. And for Xbox EU, we have AD in first, again, with 27.7K, EP in second with 26.1K, and DC in last with 25.2K. So scores are pretty close in Xbox EU.
All right. Thank you, Dogged. And as always, thank you to our PlayStation correspondent, Lotus of Doom, who reports that Ebonheart Pact is leading the PlayStation NA side of things with 28K, well, 28.4, because Daggerfall Covenant's right behind them at 28K. So it's really close. Almeri Dominion is in last with 25.5K. And on the EU side of things, the top is flipped. Daggerfall Covenant up top, 29K. Ebonheart Pact behind them, 28K, still close. And Almeri Dominion in third with 25K. So if there's one thing to be seen, it's that AD is in last in all things on PlayStation. So, I mean, they're also leading both sides of Xbox. So what are you gonna do? You know, it's just how it goes.
Yeah, sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah, but DC is at least leading one of them. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
All right. So we got the technical stuff all wrapped up for you guys, and we're going to get right into the meat of our episode this week. We have three big zones to talk about, but when we talk regions, there are as always a good deal that these regions share. So these zones are from one from each faction. Almeri Dominion, you're going to have Reaper's March, the desert kind of region. There's some kind of extension of Valenwood there at the start. A lot of Khajiit and, you know, Bosmer and the conflict going on there between them. In the Rift, which is the Ebonheart Pact zone, that is, you know, a fun place to go if you've played Skyrim. You know, you got like some things that have been from that game, and especially, you know, Riften, which is awesome. It's still a great trading area. It's a popular one for guilds to go try and get the traders and everything. So that zone is really cool. And then we also have, for the Daggerfall Covenant, Bankerai, which is an interesting zone as well. It's divided up between kind of the north and south side. There's a like impassable gate in the middle. Unless you've like done the quest, you know, so that could be frustrating unless you could get a way shrine on the other side and just hop around. And also Bankrai, it has a lot going on, honestly. It's really populated right now because one of the leads of the Ring of the Pale Order drops in the treasure chest from Bankrai. So people be running over all over the place over there. And Bankrai is also interesting because of that big central thing. The Bankrai garrison played a big part of the story of the original Grey Host invasion, which was part of the history of what led to the some of the story of Greymoor. So that was pretty cool. And
and you can actually pass that area if you go through like the bear farm area. Like there's a way around it, but you can't go through that gate to get to the other side, the other half of Bankrai.
You could get through the bear farm area, like down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Man, that's sneaky. I don't know if I ever knew that.
Yeah.
Because to get into that bear farm area, you gotta like get into the crevice anyways.
Yeah, it spits you out like right outside that Isachnok boss, like world boss, so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Be careful, but you know, it's there.
So, what about the what's up?
I said there's also a cliff, so you know, be careful when you're ascent down.
What dog warning people about a cliff? That's crazy.
I mean, it's a cliff right into a boss, right? So if you survive the cliff, the boss is probably going to run up and cleave you anyway. So,
fair enough. So, Dog, what about the crafted sets that these areas share?
All right. Well, for the first set, you have Nightmother's Gaze, which gives you weapon crit, weapon damage, another weapon crit. But then its fifth piece passive is when you deal crit damage, you apply Major Breach to the enemy, reducing their physical and spell resistance by 5948 for 4 seconds.
You know, that's actually a pretty solid set. I mean, there's other ways to get Major Breach, which is probably why it's not the most popular thing out there. But still, I mean, if you don't have a, you know, form of Major Breach available to you and you want to have it up at all times, I mean, it's a good way to do it.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, a fake tank and using inner fire, you know, that's something you could do too.
True.
But another set is Willow's Path, which gives you mac recovery, stamina recovery, and health recovery. And then its fifth piece passive increases your health, magicka, and stamina recovery by 25%.
Oh my gosh, dude. That is... Whew. Talk about recovery builds. I mean, some people really like those. That would be a good one to have. Imagine pairing that with, like, I don't know, Bright Throat or, like, you know, Bone Pirate. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how much damage you do, but you'd have an infinite amount of sustain.
Yeah, I mean... at least you can, you know, be whacking on those people forever, right?
Yeah, that's true. And your health just keeps going back up and up and up.
Yeah. The last set that's in here is Hunding's Rage, which gives you weapon crit, max stamina, more weapon crit, and then adds 300 weapon damage. So, pretty basic set. Well, not basic, but it's a pretty solid set. And... gives you a nice flat bonus at all times, which I like. I definitely don't really like proc sets, so.
Yeah, I think that's what you mean when you say basic. Like, it's like, just like, it's straightforward. Like, this is what you get. You're always going to get it. You have it, so go use it, you know. And it's always been one of the most popular craftable sets. I mean, for stand builds, like, pretty much when you're farming for the gear you want to use for endgame, use Hundings. Like, that's been a tried and true method for a long time. It's great in PvP. It's a good set. One of the best craftable sets out there. But yeah, so those are some pretty interesting craftable sets that you have from these regions. Definitely Hundings is going to be the most popular one you hear the most about. So following that, we do have two Mundus stones in these regions, and those are going to be the Apprentice, which will increase your spell damage. It's a nice one to run. I like running it in PvP sometimes, depending on what I'm doing. Then you have the Steed, which increases your run speed and health recovery. And when I say the Apprentice and it increases spell damage and it's awesome, and I like to run in PvP sometimes, the reason you don't run in PvE is because you want to, like, you usually want to focus your crit more with your Mundus. And the more popular one right now is the Shadow, which increases your crit damage and over your crit percent. Because there are other ways to buff your actual damage and your crit percent so high that you don't need to be doing that through your Mundus for PvE so much. Not to say you can't, but especially when you're running all Divines, you really want to think about what Mundus you're going to use. So there's that. And then the other one is the Steed, which I don't know if I read it, but I'll just do it again. Increases run speed and health recovery. This one is a lot of fun. If you have never gotten into PvP and played an orc and put the Steed on, oh man, do it. Go play a Stam Warden, put the Steed on, and just run so fast and have great health recovery.
Or even better, you know, it could be any race. Put on the Steed, put on either like False God or the stamina version of that.
Vicious Serpent.
Yeah, or Vicious Venom. Serpent, or Vicious Aphidia, or whatever it is.
I don't know. Right? Yeah, it's just one of those.
Use the stamina version of False God, even though False God came out second. And Ring of the Wild Hunt, and then that way when you stuff, you go faster. And you put on a charging maneuver, so you get both major and minor expedition. You get, you know, you get even more, you get super fast. And yeah,
true. Then you have to give up a slot for the ring though, but I get where you're coming from.
I mean, if you're farming something like a public dungeon, then you really don't need that extra slot.
I was thinking PvP more specifically, but yeah, I feel you.
So yeah,
being an orc in PvP with that speed that's stammed in, and then you pop that little, the wings that give you the speed boost too, like, oh man, dude, you're flying. But anyways, those are the Munduses in this region. And these regions also have 7 striking locales each. There's going to be the Seeing Eye locations on your map, 1 public dungeon each, with a full skill point upon completing the group event, and 16 sky shards, which if you get all of them in each region, it's a total of 5 per region plus an extra. So if you got them for all the regions, you would get 16 skill points, all 3 of these regions.
Bob, did you know that all these main zone story quests deal with the worm cult led by Mana Marco under Molag Bal?
No, actually, I don't think I ever put that one together.
Yeah, well, they do. And the reason is because originally when you were supposed to play the game, you know, before when Tamriel, is that this would be your final quest, or that would be your final region before you went to go through the Alliance moot, or, you know, the meeting. You know, this would give incentive for each alliance to want to put a stop to Molag Bal and his schemes and all that. But, you know, you have to be invaders from Akavir or the Daggerfall Covenant for Yoren to actually send troops to attack invaders. But, you know, invaders from Oblivion? Well, let's just say that, you know, it's a good thing that hopefully this next, you know, year of Oblivion takes place in, you know, Cyrodiilish lands instead of Ebonheartish lands, since, well, Yoren is on a bad track of, you know, defending Skyrim from Molag Bal.
Yeah, Skyrim has other protectors now, right? It's got a year's worth of protectors, so I think they're going to be all right over there for a little bit.
Yeah, you know, also, Molag Bal thinks that the Lance Eaters are weak, and, you know, that's why he only sent, like, 3-day try to kill them.
Ah, you know. That's why Molag Bal lost. Because he underestimates us.
Yeah. I really hope that we fight like a full on Daedric army next year. That'd be awesome. Just like, oh my gosh, we're overwhelmed by Daedric forces. Yeah. But who knows? I mean, maybe
we're going into Oblivion, right? So
yeah.
So we have our first zone that we are gonna talk about. We have the Aldmeri Dominion zone of Reaper's March, and we got 3 sets coming out of there. So Dogged, why don't you start us off with the first set, which I'm assuming is the light one, right?
Of course, because you know, we here are always start with the light armor set because that's what makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
All right, well, this set is the Skooma Smuggler. This will give you max magicka, mag recovery, spell damage, and then its 5th P passive says that when you drink a potion, you gain major expedition for 30 seconds, increasing your movement speed by 30%.
You know, that's actually kind of an interesting one, too. Like, not like I really would want to use a 5 spot for that. But if you're trying to do something goofy in, like, Cyrodiil, and, like, you pair that with, like, Clever Alchemist or something, I don't know, you know. There's, like, I don't really like the sets where you have to pay attention when you pop a potion. That's when your proc goes off. But if you're going to do it, I don't know, it could be fun. Could be interesting, at least.
To be good for, vampire builds and... You know, pop a potion, you can run, you can use blood mist away.
Yeah, very true. And then we have the medium set, Cinch's Bite, which is going to give you stam recovery, weapon crit, and max stamina on the way to the 5-piece, which is when you use roll dodge, increase your critical damage by 15% for 8 seconds. So that's a pretty nice little set there. You could, like, especially like a stam blade, I'm thinking, might be able to make something nice out of that. I mean, any stam build, really, you know, when you roll dodge. But, like, just reading it comes to mind, stam blade. I don't think I've really heard a lot of people using it, but, you know, it seems like it could be all right.
Yeah, and then the last set is Soul Shine. It's give you max magicka, spell crit, spell damage, and then it's 5th peeps. Its 5th piece passive gives you activating an ability with a caster channel time grants you 369 spell damage for 5 seconds. Now, this set used to be a little bit better. They kind of changed how it works. But, this was something that I used to use because just something that I, as a Templar, you know, jabs is a channel time, so it just makes sense. It goes with your jabs. It goes with like pretty much anything that you use on a Templar because, well, you're a Templar. You use jabs or sweeps, or, you know, stuff like that. So it made sense. It buffs up your stuff, especially, you know, it's magic base, so it adds spell damage. That's great. But then, you know, the great buffing of War Maidens came along, and that set also kind of got a little bit nerfed. So, yeah.
Yeah, even when I was going over this one earlier and I was like reading it, I was like, I don't really remember this set too much. But honestly, like, it's a pretty solid set. The 5th piece ultimate buff, it's 369 spell damage that it gives you. So, I mean, it's all right. There are better proc sets if you're going to be looking for something that will proc your damage from an ability, especially like Burning Spellweave or Scaling Mage, give you a little bit more. But if you're on the way to farming those, then this is a perfectly fine option as long as you are using a caster channel ability.
Yeah, and this one can have 100% uptime, which is nice. I like 100% uptime.
Oh yeah, we love that here at the Red Diamond Courier.
Yeah, especially, yeah.
Now, those are the sets for this zone. They're all a little bit interesting. I definitely think that they could fit into people's builds, no doubt. Now, for this region, as far as the rest of it goes, the questing in Reaper's March is actually really interesting. For me, I'm not super big on the Khajiit and everything, but even, you know, them not being some of my favorite parts of Tamriel and everything, it's really interesting, and you actually get to go and help, like, choose the main and go through the whole process of, like, you, because it's like they're trying to corrupt it, and there's like the Dark Man. You have to go do this quest, people. Like, the quest line for there is super interesting. And if you've touched elsewhere and you enjoyed that, like, the, you know, like, go do Reaper's March. It is freaking awesome. Now, there are 10 story quests, so it's not that bad, not too long. And there are 45 quests total to get the adventure achievement here. So it's not too bad of a zone. Lots of stuff going on, lots of quests available, and some actual really good, well-written, deep stuff there. So I would definitely, definitely say, if you haven't gone, I would go check out Reaper's March and the quests there.
Yeah. And, you know, there's an evil Tharn involved too, so that might be like, oh, hey, look, another one of, you know, Abner's half-sisters, you know, spawn. So
yeah, an evil Tharn and a decision, an ultimate decision of the main. So go do it, go run it, and go let us know which Khajiit that you chose.
Yeah, I think I would have liked that, like, zone story a lot better if I hadn't done, like, the Elsewhere stuff first, because I would have been like, for Elsewhere stuff, like, you know, I learned a lot more about the Khajiit stuff, that culture. So, like, I wasn't really as interested when I went into.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something I wish I would have done. I wish I did the Reaper's March first, so I would know more into Elsewhere. So,
yeah.
Definitely recommend doing that before you go into Elsewhere. And then, you know, our last little bit is the Guild Traders. You have 5 right off the Rockhalla. Rockhalla Race Shrine, which, you know, Bob was talking about.
Rockhalla.
Yeah, Rockhalla. That's right. I mean, sometimes, you know, you mispronounce, you know, Khajiit words, and then they get mad at you and they eat you. But it's okay. You get 1 Guild Trader at Vine Dusk Race Shrine, and then the last Guild Trader in that zone is at the Dune Race Shrine, which is in that city.
Yeah, and Rockhalla is a great place for guild traders. They're really popular. It's going to be solid traders there. It is right off the Way Shrine. It was probably one of the first places I ever found that I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome for guild trading. Because, of course, back then you were locked down by, you know, faction, so I could only do things inside the AD. And when I finally got to Rockhalla, I was like, oh man, this is a spot right here.
Yeah, those traders are probably better set up than Mournhold is, so.
Wow, you won't hear dogs say that about anything, so. So, we hope you guys enjoyed hearing us talk about Reaper's March, the last progressive zone in the Aldemary Dominion. And, back in the day, if you chose the Aldemary Dominion, you would wrap up the quest here in the Reaper's March and sail off to the Ebonheart Pact and start things over there. So, that is what we're going to do and head into the next Ebonheart Pact zone. However, for that, we wanted to take this little middle portion of our episode, as always, to remind you all that we are a part of the oh-so-wildly popular Robots Radio Podcast Network. And because of that, we get to bring you some awesome opportunities, like getting 15% off your first order at Loot Crate, where they have all kinds of awesome gamer gear and stuff that you could get for you and yours for Christmas, man. I mean, well, it might be a bit late for Christmas now. I don't know. It's coming right up, people. But you can also get 1 free month when you sign up for 1 on Gamefly. That's just $10. You get 2 months of gaming. Cyberpunk is out. There is, you know, all kinds of other stuff. Why don't you go and get a disc of Oblivion, replay that, and get ready for, you know, the Gates of Oblivion. Anyways, don't want to take up too much time here. Just want to let you guys know that those opportunities are out there for you. And we are thankful to have them and thankful to be a part of the one and only Robots Radio Podcast Network. You should go check them out. Robotsradio.net has all the great shows that you could hear about, like this one.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are Dragonbreaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the Grey Maybe of Tamriel.
All right. So that leaves us with two more regions to talk about. We've got the Ebonheart Pact Zone of the Rift coming up first. Now, for me, the Rift is unwelcoming as a player coming from Skyrim. It's a little bit, like, different, and, like, it's the last zone, so it's violent. Like, especially back then, like, everything is, like, you know, vet 8 or like whatever, vet 4, like 5, I don't remember. But you can just go to the Rift. Like, things are, will be mad. It's the last region. You had to work to get there. When you finally get to Riften, you're like, all right, man, this is it. I'm here. This is cool. So, and you know, I just have to mention that public dungeon in the Rift. I just hate it. But anyways, before I go into a diatribe about the Rift and my feelings towards it in ESO, let's talk about the sets that come out of it. We've got the light set first up. Dogged, why don't you let them know what's up?
All right, so you have Yzkamor's Birthright, which is, you know, the Lion Armor set. So Yzkamor actually prefers, you know, mages over, you know, Ron. So, you know, just keep that in mind.
Oh,
take that, all you Nords that are not mages. So first you have a spell crit, max Manchika, spell damage, and then its fifth piece passive adds 400 spell damage to your frost damage abilities. So it's not the greatest thing, because, well, I mean, there's very few frost damage abilities to begin with. And it, you know, surprisingly, it wasn't bumped up to 600 like its, you know, counterparts for, like, War Maidens or the stamina version of War Maidens, that's the physical damage and some other various different, like, specific damage types. So it's a bit weird that that one isn't added. But then again, you know, you don't really have many frost damage abilities that you can work with. Unless if you are a warden and you're using an ice staff now, but then you'd kind of be more of a support role.
Yeah, definitely an interesting one. But then we have Witchman's Armor, the medium set, which gives you stam recovery, weapon damage, and max health on the way to the 5-piece, which reads, when you use an ultimate ability, you heal for 51 health and restore 51 stamina and magicka per point of the ultimate's cost. So, unlike Balorgs, this doesn't give you per cost or per how much you spend, it's per how much the ultimate costs. So if you spend 500, ultimate only costs 200. You're still only going to get the resource back for that 200. However, you know, Dragon Knights, they get back resources when they cast their ultimate. So that brings it to mind for me. You slap this on, when you cast your ultimate, you could be like, boom, full. Like, if you weren't full, you'd be full. Or if you were trying to replicate that on a different class, this could help. But personally for me, unless those numbers get extremely high when you gold this out, I'm not sure if it's something I would personally try and throw on.
So for anyone who's wondering, like, I was thinking, like, you know, you might be able to apply this for a tank that isn't a Dragonite, so like Templar or any of them. And that would give you about roughly at least 10,000 magicka, stamina, health minimum and that's if your ultimate costs at 200, which Warhorn and Barrier base cost is 250. So unless if you have some serious ultimate cost reduction, then that should then you should be getting a little bit more than, you know, 10k. And I also only did 50 because 50 is a nice rounder number. So yeah, I definitely think that, you know, you could probably use that as like weapons and jewelry for a tank if you need the extra sustain. Plus it's like, you know, you're casting Barrier or Warhorn, so it's something that you'll have higher amount of ultimate for. So the last set from this region is Draugr's Heritage, and this one will give you healing taken, two things of max health, then its fifth piece passive reads, when you take damage while you're under 35% health, you knock down all enemies within 4 meters of you for 2 seconds and heal for 8750 health. This effect can occur once every 7 seconds. So this set, I don't think, is the greatest one because, I mean, if you're a tank, or I guess this doesn't be for tanks, but I mean, ideally, you don't exactly want to be under 35% health all the time. But if you are, you know, at least you get that kind of like burst heal. So I guess that would be good in that sense. But ideally, you know, you don't really want to be under 35% health. And or if you have a good healer, you know, you want to be under 35% health at many times at all. So there's that too.
I feel you on that one. And honestly, out of this region, not that many great sets. I'd probably say if you're going to try any of them, the medium Witchman's Armor would be the one to go for, but still is like, eh. But we do have some quests, of course, in this region, and it's an Ebonheart one. So you know that there's going to be a lot to get to adventure. 61, as a matter of fact. However, there's also 18 story quests, so it takes a bit to get through the story. It will help you get through the adventure achievement, but a lot of questing in the Rift, as most Ebonheart pack zones seem to be. So if that's what you're going for, then get to questing and knock them out as fast as you can.
And for guild traders in this region, you have 5 traders outside of Riften at Skald's Retreat Waste Shrine. That waste run is actually closer to go to get to those traders. You have one at Shore Stone Waste Shrine, and then you have one at Nimbleton Waste Shrine. So, yeah, there's some traders for you.
And it's just weird that they didn't put the traders like right in Riften in the awesome circle of like, you know, trader merchants. Yeah. But I get it, but that would have been coolest to me.
Yeah, that definitely would have been cool. Just, you know, like, to have it kind of have it, like, mimic the, like, Skyrim setup of how they had, like, those little shops and, like, those little, like, outside shops.
Yeah, exactly. With that, we are going to enter right into our last zone to talk about with you guys. We have the Daggerfall Covenant zone of Bankerai. And yeah, this is a populated zone right now, like I was telling you guys earlier about. Lots of people here going for leads, etc. So, Dogged, why don't you start us off with that light set, Vampire Lord?
All right, so Vampire Lord will give you some max magicka, spell damage, spell crit. Then this fifth piece passive gives you and increases the bonuses and penalties for your vampire stage, depending on how far you've progressed. So depending on, you know, stage 1, 2, 3, or 4, you get 1%, 2%, 4%, or 6% of additional flame damage taken and increase the regular ability cost. And then you also have the 5%, 10%, 15%, or 20% of your reduced vampire ability cost. So, yeah, it kind of just buffs up your vampire stuff, your vampire skills, making you the true vampire lord. Idealistically, you probably wouldn't want this set unless if you're using like only vampire abilities, which really, really isn't the greatest, you know, kind of setup. It's not like werewolf where, you know, that's viable because that's like the only thing you can use for vampires. There's other better stuff typically.
Yeah, especially with the increase in regular ability costs, because now as a vampire, you already have inherent increase to regular ability costs. So
yeah,
that's a lot. Unless you're really focusing vampire abilities, I don't really see the viability in this one so much. But they did change this when all that vampire stuff went down, and I feel like that's kind of what they went for. It's like literally like, if you want to be vampire, you want to use all those abilities, this is a set for you. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
With that, we'll go right into the medium set, which is an awesome one. Spriggans, Thorns. You get 2x max stam, which is 2 different ones, plus a weapon damage increase on the way to the 5-piece, which reads, adds 3,460 physical penetration. So over 3,000 physical penetration. This is the stamina complement to the Spinner's Garments set. And it is awesome. PvP, it's an awesome one. It's a classic. People still run it. It's a good one. Period. Like, no matter what, it will always stick around, and it's a good one to have in your bank, honestly.
Yeah, this is something that I definitely keep around on Xbox. Especially because I use it on some of those characters, but for PC, that's probably something I'm just gonna break down and never look at, because you know I only have Breton Templars on my team right now. So yeah. But for the last set of this region, you have 7th Legion Brute, which will give you weapon damage, health recovery, weapon crit, and then its 5th piece passive says, when you cast an ability that increases your physical or spell resistance, you gain 341 weapon damage and 341 health recovery for 15 seconds. This effect can occur every 15 seconds. So idealistically, most of the abilities that you would cast for, you know, buffing up your physical or spell resistance, would have about a 20 second cooldown. So that isn't too terrible. That actually makes a little bit of sense.
This is the one that changed it because it used to scale, right?
Yeah, it used to scale with something.
Yeah, and it was way too OP. It's still pretty OP, honestly. It's a really good one. Has 100% uptime, gives you health recovery, plus weapon damage, plus resistances. I mean,
you're using something
when you increase your resistances, yeah. So yeah, you're already increasing your resistances, and it gives you those things. So, I mean, it's a really good set. And for PvP still, it's a very popular one. You'll have a lot of stand builds running jewelry and weapons on this to get the proc. It's a big set. It's a very popular set.
Yeah. You can never go wrong with too much damage in PvP.
Right. So those are the sets for Bankrai. Spriggans and 7th Legion are very big sets. You will see those being used in PvP, no doubt in my mind. So if you get pieces of those, save them. Save them, I'm telling you. Or sell them. If you get a purple ring, toss it in the guild trader for a little bit. You can make a little bit of gold. Definitely more than NPCing it or breaking it down for, well, I don't know, Zircon's expensive. God knows Zircon's expensive. But anyways, those are the sets. Go check them out. As far as questing in Bankrai, we've got 36 quests to get the adventure achievement, and 11 of those are going to be story quests. So not too bad. Not too bad at all. When you compare some of these zones to the Ebonheart Pact ones, you're like, wait, wasn't it like 60 quests in the Rift? Yeah. It was. Okay. Crazy.
Yeah, but you know, this set has the crazy cousin Septimatharn of, you know, Aberthearn, so
there's literally Tharns everywhere you go, man. You can't get away from this family.
Both working, you know, for more like Ball, but you know, that's why they're the crazy cousins, right? You know. We all have a crazy cousin.
Yeah, we all got the crazy cousins that drink all the eggnog at the holiday party or whatever.
Or a crazy nephew, as you know, the other one is. But, you know, crazy cousin and a crazy nephew, so.
I was going to say, that sounds like something personal, dog. Like, did your nephew drink all your eggnog? I'm just kidding.
And then for Guild Traders, we have 5 in Evermore. Between the Evermore and Eastern Evermore Way Shrines, they're pretty much equidistant, so whatever one you go to is by preference. I think my preference is typically the North one, so the Evermore Way Shrine. You have one at Bankerai Pass Way Shrine, which is also the Way Shrine where you go for the Bear Farm, and where you can also cut through that little area to go to the southern part. And then you have one outside at Hallenstand at, well, Hallenstand Way Shrine. So, one thing that I think would be cool if they implemented is that they had, like, before story, or, like, before zone story quest, and after zone story quest, where that your Way Shrine would kind of, like, move in land. Because having a Way
the
Shrine...
physical Way Shrine is gonna move. That's what you want.
Yeah. Oh, I mean... Yeah.
That's not lore breaking.
I mean, most of the Way Shrines don't
just
make it.
Get up and move. Well, you know, I don't know. Joe dug it up.
It was the better thing. The
community moved it over there. They dragged it down.
There's horses, all right? Or camels, or guars, or those big cat things. Those big Khajiits.
You know, well, they sent rot. And Casca would kill you before she let you mount a Way Shrine to her. Jesus.
Well, you know, like you have options on, you know, how you could drag.
We'll give it to a Guar. We'll make a Guar, you know, just like force the Guar to drag it down. That's what we do.
Yeah. But, you know, it was a better thought inside of my head. You're like, you know, like, wow, we have all these Way Shrines outside of towns. Be nice, you know, if they were actually inside the town. Yeah. Especially for, you know, the New Life Festival where you're going to have to go to that town and you're going to be like, oh, I want to be inside the town. I'm like, no, you get to be outside of the town. And you're like, great. Don't want to be outside of the town. I want to be inside of the town.
Okay, so Dog is clearly going to go on about Way Shrines here for a bit, so I'm just going to hop right in here. And thank you guys for listening to us go on. We're clearly having a lot of fun here, getting right back in the swing of things. It was a weird November, tough November for myself. Getting back in the swing of things has definitely been fun. Thank you guys again for having patience and for letting us just, you know, have some time and hear, you know, this is going to be our third episode, and I think like, I don't know, 15 days or something. So I hope we're getting some content out there for you guys to catch up on. We've got some more in the pipeline, some fun stuff, some Christmas stuff. So stay prepared. Keep your eye out for that. Thank you for chilling with us and listening to us talk about the last base game zones we're going to talk about. 5 different zones we've done. It's been a crazy year. And in 1 year, we got through all the zones. I just am thinking about this now. It's dawning upon me, and it's kind of freaking cool, honestly. And I don't know. It's been a fun year. It's been a great year for us, and we got a couple weeks left to close it out. So expect that. Expect fun. Expect all the good stuff. Dog, if people want to come talk to us anywhere about any of the great regions and sets and everything we just talked about, or all of the other things, Red Diamond Courier, where can they hit us up?
All right, you can hit us up on Twitter at Red Diamond Cast. And, you know, you can tweet us on how the great Way Shrine Movable at Tamriel is a great idea. You can also find us on Facebook of the Red Diamond Courier. You can also create a post. You're like, hey, the great Way Shrine Movable of Tamriel is a great idea. So, yeah. You know, 2 different ways to, you know, tell us how great the idea is. Because, you know, it's a dogged idea. All dogged ideas are great. Except for the ones that aren't. You can also join our Xbox Guild of Heirs of the Red Diamond.
And if you check our show notes, you can find links to our merch store, to our awesome sponsors, to the awesome, awesome website that will answer any freaking ESO questions you possibly have. And if you go subscribe to the Dormer Automaton bot through the site, you could get updates the moment we drop episodes in your Discord. Plus, we've got a link to our music producer, who I'm telling you, I am telling you, if you have anything that you think you need musically done, this dude can make it happen. Go hit him up, Daniel Leslie, musical genius. And if you've got the time, we haven't got a review in months, guys, in months. We did get a 5-star recently. It went up from one to another. So that was good. We appreciate whoever did that 5-star. But you didn't leave any words, so I can't shout them out. Why don't you talk about bad dog smells and
how bad Bob smells? Because you know that's what I was gonna say before Bob said.
No, I said it first, but
no, yeah, I was thinking it first.
There you go. And if you guys take the time, even if you don't necessarily listen on Apple Podcasts, if you go drop us a review on there, it really, really does improve the viewing of our show. When people go find us and go look at the reviews and see how legit we are, it gets us moved up in the charts because they have podcast charts. Just all these things. It really, really does mean a lot, and it makes a difference. And me and Dr. Reed, every single one, and we'll shout you out on the show. And, you know, we're going to give you guys, we got some plans to give you some Christmas. If you guys could give us some Christmas for anything, we would just hope for, you know, a review or to reach out to us and tell us that you're enjoying the show. Anything that it would be awesome. That would help make the end of our year awesome. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for doing all the stuff. As always, we absolutely cannot say thank you enough to you guys. So you're the reason we're here, honestly. And we've had an awesome, awesome year hanging out with you. Dogged, if people want to come yell at you about how freaking crazy you are, where can they do that?
We can find you on Xbox or ESOPC or Twitter of all at DogBark24. And on Twitter, you can, you know, message me and we can organize the great leash removal at Tamriel using all the guars, horses, camels, and centrots.
And if you guys want to talk to me on Xbox, it's going to be Bob Space Chachinsky. Everywhere else, Twitter, Twitch, and ESOPC, which is where I'm living right now, Bob_Chachinsky. Once again, thank you guys for hanging out. Thanks, Doc, for coming and doing another week of this crazy freaking awesome show with me. We are closing down our year, and you guys are going to hear me say it more and more as we get closer. And it's been a lot of fun, and I honestly cannot wait to get back and talk more about Elder Scrolls next week. And I hope you guys are staying safe and all taking care and getting ready to have an awesome 2020 Christmas. Finish this year off right. And we will see you on the flip side.
Yep. See ya.
Peace out.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
In a world where solid-state electronics and vacuum tubes are still meta, people never stop loving atomic-powered everything. A chosen 500 stepped inside a subterranean vault to be spared the nuclear horror of the inevitable Great War. 25 years later, they emerge after the fallout settles to retake Appalachia. Among them, two former rivals whose blood feud will tear West Virginia apart and their epic struggle for survival. Chad, a vault bro who has a strength of 15, an intelligence of 2, and is a complete wasteland dickhead. Simon, a complicated anti-hero who chooses light and hope, but accidentally becomes a cannibal, and wakes up naked and afraid with a Scorch Beast Queen after a date goes terribly wrong. What? I mean, it's a wild wasteland, right? This dark humor radio drama will have you driving off the road and crawling out from under the fallout. Two men. One wasteland. And so many nukes. Chad, a Fallout 76 podcast, rated R. now streaming on your holotape player podcasty thing.